Welcome back, everyone. Happy New Year. We are joined by a very exciting guest today, Brian Johnson. He has had a fulfilling, fruitful, beautiful career of 37 years at Arizona State University. He's become a turf celebrity of sorts. The last couple of months, we've seen him on publications, on the news, all over social media. So, of course, we had to have him join our groundskeeper chat to look back at his career, ask him some hard-hitting questions, and just reflect on, you know, what makes the turf industry so great. He's one of the pillars that makes it unique and special, and we're excited to be joined by him and ask him some of those questions. So, Brian, I'll let you take it away. Introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
Well, it's really an honor to do this with you. You know, like you mentioned, it's been a long career. And I think back to the early days, we didn't have things like this going on. And I just think of some of my struggles early on in my groundskeeping career, where it was literally trial and error on my part. And just forums like this are just so helpful for young groundskeepers and really any groundskeeper. If I can share a little bit of knowledge that helped make my job easier, it just makes me really happy. So thank you for doing what you do, and thanks for having me on here. And like I say, it's been a wonderful career. I've enjoyed every minute of it. So. Yeah, I just happy to be here.
And that really is the nature of the turf industry, at least since I've been involved, is everyone really wanting to share that wealth of knowledge. You know, nobody's keeping secrets from each other. It's all about helping each other. And that's something that makes it so unique. And that kind of leads into my first question about, you know, mentorship and that sharing of knowledge. How important is it to this industry, and how important has it been in your career?
Well, it's been critical. I guess I'm going to give you an example of a mentor that I've had. I didn't consider it as my life was going on or as my career was going on as a mentor, but looking back on it now, you know, obviously I did learn from people on the job. You know, Don Follett was here, who moved on to the Redskins and Ravens. And I learned a lot from him on the job. When I first started at ASU, Alan Sigwart, who went on to a career with the in Miami, taught me some things. But in terms of being a mentor, I'm going to kind of think outside the box. I actually met a guy named Dennis Kemp, who was a fertilizer salesman. And he helped me so much in my career. I didn't get a turf degree, so I showed up on the job at ASU knowing very little. To be honest, I didn't know the difference between ryegrass and Bermuda grass when I started here at ASU. And so as I was learning on a job, I got involved with Dennis, and we just kind of hit it off, and we were the same type of personality. And when I was buying fertilizer from him, instead of him just saying, here's what you need, do this, a combination of him just wanting me to know why we were doing what we were doing and me wanting to know why it is what we're doing. And so I feel like I kind of had a mini college education from him. You know, I was getting soil reports done, and instead of just handing me the report and saying, this is what you need to buy, you know, we sat down for 3-4 hours and he explained everything to me and answered every question that I had. So, you know, it's kind of weird to say your fertilizer guy was your mentor, but in a way I feel like he was my mentor, because I learned so much about why, you know, as a trial and error type of guy, I was kind of figuring things out, but it just helped solidify everything, knowing that, you know, here's the reason why things were working, and here's the reason why other things weren't working.
And that's so special, especially because, you know, in a vendor position, it would probably be a lot easier for him to just hand you the piece of paper. This is what you need to buy from me, end of the day. But he took that initiative to really empower you to kind of, you know, not only learn it, but be able to, in the future, teach other people how to do it. So that's really special.
Exactly. And I can't tell you the number of times where I saw a problem and I thought, hey, Dennis, I need this, this, and this pronto, you know, and he said, hey, hold on, let's settle down here. Let me take a look. And, you know, things aren't that bad. You really would be wasting your money doing this and this. I think this will just take care of it. And then, so just having him around, being able to call him was just a great comfort for me.
I love that. And, you know, on the other side of it, you know, being at a university, you've had the opportunity to have a lot of young students or just young employees come through. I loved some of the photos that were being shared of some of the students or employees that came back for your final home game. You know, how did that play into your day-to-day job or just your career as a whole, that mentorship on your end that you got to, you know, pass along your knowledge?
You know, I was so focused on my job sometimes that I really failed to recognize the impact that you can have on others until like it's all over and these people are coming back and telling you what you meant to them. So I really feel like I've been blessed working in a university system. You know, when I see other people that had a full-time crew and they didn't have to worry about their employees going to class or, hey, I can't come in today, I got homework to do. You know, sometimes I would be jealous of their situations, but I just really feel that it kept me young and kept me fresh working around all these students. And then also just the ability to have an impact in their life. Very few of my students ever had a desire to be a groundskeeper because we're not a turf school. They're just looking for some part-time work. But a very, very high percentage of them really relished the work and enjoyed it. And it was very rewarding on my part just to see them grow into the job that they're doing here and just, you know, help them through their academic career. Parents are sending these young kids off to school and there's a lot of responsibility being their supervisor. Just mentoring, like you said, just mentoring them in their life, in their academic career, in their work career. It's kind of a special situation to be able to do that in a college setting and to do it for a long time and impact a number of people. It's been very rewarding.
So, you know, what kind of advice after your 37 years of having that rewarding element of the job would you give to somebody who is going to be in a position like yours or at another university, you know, with the opportunity to impact so many young, the next generation of sorts? What would you really give them as a guidepost?
Well, I think you can't really be too focused solely on the job. I feel like you have to get to know the people, like honestly know them and be interested in their lives and some of the pressures that they're dealing with as a student, as a young person. And then I think the job just comes natural. Like they're going to want to work hard for you. If they have respect for you, if they view you as not just a boss, but a friend that's interested in them. So I think if I had any kind of advice, it would be don't get too focused on the job at hand. You know, young kids might screw up on a job, but just help them kindly, you know, steer them in the right direction. This is why you shouldn't do this. But first of all, just build that relationship. I think we have so much fun here at work, you know, during work and after work. And I think we kind of over the years, if I had to characterize our crew, we're just kind of like one big happy family. And it just really makes for a great working environment.
And I hear that so frequently that, you know, a crew really becomes a family, especially the nature of the job, the hours, the challenges that you guys are able to overcome together. So that's definitely one reason to consider a career in turf is that you're going to have a support system. You're going to have fun on the job, but what are some other elements that, you know, you would tell the next generation, like, you know, this is a career that's worthwhile.
Well, I just, like when I think about my job, I just love the work. So if you're going to consider a career in turf, the work that I do on a day-to-day basis, I love every part of it. I love mowing grass. I love painting. I love vertislicing. I love going out in the field when it's 117 in the summer and vertislicing three directions and sweeping up everything and giving it a final mow and going home all dusty and dirty. I love that. So I think that's the first thing, is you just have to kind of love the work, which I've been blessed to do. And then there's just other things, that are a rewarding part of the job. Like when you get a field ready for a game and it's looking nice and you just go up into the stands and look down on it. And it just, you know, there's something tangible there that you can look at and be proud of, where maybe in other careers, you don't see that, you know, you're working hard and you're crunching numbers and things work out and you're like, oh, okay. But we have some tangible evidence of our hard work. And then I guess lastly, and it's not necessary, but if people, whether that's players or coaches or fans, they not only enjoy that, but are very thankful for the work that you've done. I feel that's been a blessing, where in a different career, if you are doing good, it's, you don't have all these groups coming at you like, hey, thank you. Not that we're doing it for thank yous, but it's just like an extra bonus that makes this career rewarding.
Your work is put on the big screen, you know, every week. And that definitely, you know, is a rewarding element, I'm sure. But I will say, that footage of you that came out where you are riding at the front of the paint machine and you were striping that way, if they could use that as promo for something, I think it would encourage the entire next generation to choose turf, because you looked like such a badass. It was so cool.
Thank you. There's just different ways to do things. And normally, and I've kind of been known for this, if there's a different way to do things, I'll typically choose I might choose the more difficult way to do things if it makes things look better. But that's one thing where I feel like I can put down a line that is almost as close as if we had spent many more man hours stenciling a line. And so it's not quite as good, but very, very good. And then I think that just the time saved from that kind of helps me put more time into other logos on the field and make them a little sharper. So it's just one of those things, but I'm just so used to it. I just jump on there and hold the handle and spray. And I've done it so many times, but I guess if people that haven't seen that done, that's the first time I've ever been called a badass on the paint scooter, but.
Well, it truly was. I was like, wow, that was the first time maybe I was like, oh, maybe I want to do that. And yeah. I definitely am not cut out for like 117 degree days out on the field. So you really had some, convincing power with that imagery. So,
yeah. Oh, thank you.
So my next thing I want to, 37 years is a lot to look back on, but is there any accomplishments or, aha moments that really stand out that, resonate when you've been kind of reflecting back on your career these past couple months?
Accomplishments. There's one kind of obvious one to me, but besides that, just being in one place for that long is an accomplishment. When I started out in this industry, I wasn't making very much money or just kind of toiling away, at our baseball stadium. But I love the work, and I kind of persevered and things moved along nicely. So just staying in one place, I would consider that like an accomplishment. But I guess the other one would be just the Super Bowls that I've been involved with, doing it for that long. And it started out just being in the right place at the right time when Super Bowl 30 was here at Sun Devil Stadium. But then I had the ability or the skill level to fit in with their crew and to get asked back every year. So I guess as a groundskeeper, if you're looking for an accomplishment, I think just to be able to be involved with that, that event that's seen by, you know, millions and millions of people. And I've been there painting that for, you know, going on 25, 26 years now. So I guess that would be an accomplishment, I think.
Oh yeah, I think we could maybe consider that an accomplishment. Yeah. Most definitely. And you know, just throughout the turf industry, that crew that, you know, really puts on that show and is able to make that field you know, look as incredible as it always does for those Super Bowl games. You guys are world renowned within the turf industry, but even in past years, you know, with George Toma really leading the charge, getting a lot of national recognition as well. So, you know, just being able to make that impression for the turf industry on a such a large scale is a really unique thing to be a part of.
It really is. And I'm glad you mentioned that. The crew that we have there, it's a great experience. It's a lot of hours day after day after day, but to be able to work around all those other people. And like you mentioned earlier, nobody's really keeping any secrets. So it is a wonderful, it's a wonderful event to work, but every year there are some big items and even small items that I learn every year from the other groundskeepers there that kind of I take back to my work here, and it makes my job a lot easier here. So, and then George, you know, we all do owe him, you know, in terms of our industry being taken seriously, we all do owe him a big thank you. You know, you look back to footage from, I just recently visited the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We were on a little vacation and, you know, I was really fascinated with the start of the game. And you look at some of the videos that they have in there from back in the day, and it, pretty much every field was just a muddy mess. And so just him kind of improving things to where our industry can be taken seriously. You know, we owe him a big thank you.
Of course. And definitely that's a very nice testament to just the turf industry as a whole and leadership and leaders in the turf industry. You know, what are some of those lessons that really resonated with you over the years from leaders in the turf industry?
Well, just starting with George, just like a work ethic and attention to detail. You know, I've told the story before about how I got started with him and how, you know, at Super Bowl 30 and he came down in like November or December, and I was painting the field for our Cardinals game. And he was just down early checking out our stadium to get ready for the game in January. And I knew who he was, obviously, but he needed some people to help paint for the game. And I was trimming the Cardinals end zone. I was trimming the letters, and he just came down there and kind of glared at me and folded his arms and watched me trim the letters. And I finished like the A in Arizona, and then I moved on to the R, and I looked up, and he just kind of was following me down the row with his arms folded, not saying a word, just kind of glaring at me. And I thought I was doing a good job, but he didn't say anything until the very end. And he said, "Hey, nice job. We'd like you to help with the Super Bowl." And so, but he had such an attention to detail that, you know, was impressed upon me. And I think that detail I've kind of carried out and have taught others, but it all started with him saying, like, you know, there's times where we would get little paint rollers out there to make things perfect for that game. And I go, wow, this is really serious stuff here. So I think just attention to detail. And it started with him, that was kind of impressed upon me, but, I forget the original question now, but.
Well, you answered it perfectly. So even forgetting the question, you gave the perfect response. So the next thing I want to talk about is, you know, what are the things that you're really going to miss? You know, you've already had your last home game, but what are some of the things that on the day-to-day level you're going to miss about your career?
Well, I think all the interaction with the coaches, the players, and my staff members, you know, I've seen so many football games, and I don't know, I think other careers, other people in other jobs can kind of relate to this, where they've done something so often that it gets to be routine. I've seen so many football games where sometimes they all tend to look alike. I'm not going to really miss being at too many football games, but I think I'll miss all the people, like you mentioned, the students that came back to help paint, and all my coworkers that I've had over the years. I think just the camaraderie that we've had on a day-to-day basis and all those relationships, I'll miss everyone. And, you know, I'll probably end up missing the work. I feel like as much as I told you, as much as I love the actual work of groundskeeping, I think it's just time for something new. And I plan on doing a lot of relaxing, a lot of volunteering, a lot of hiking and camping. But I'm sure at some point I'll probably end up wishing that I was out on a mower somewhere. But we'll see. But I think I think the main thing is just going to be all the people that I've worked with over the years. If I hope to keep in touch with all of them, because I think I'm really going to miss them.
Of course. And I do think that anyone would welcome you back if you need to get your fix. You know, anyone would let you mow or paint. So that's something to look forward to, I'm sure.
I've heard that already. So we'll see.
So, you know, after 37 years, and like you said, that is such a testament to not only Arizona State, but, you know, your career being able to be in one place. You know, what do you really hope serves as your legacy? Is there anything that, you know, you hope people remember about your career or about yourself? You know, what really do you hope to serve as your legacy?
You know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that word associated with me. You know, it's just hard to, like when I first started out, like I was saying, when I first started out in this career, you know, I loved the work that I was doing, but I didn't picture what it would be like 37 years later. You know, I just thought I was just making a paycheck and doing the best I could. And some of the attention that I got towards the end of my career, I didn't really see any of that coming or expect it. So I guess if people just hear my name and thought, oh, he was a good groundskeeper, I'd be totally happy with that, you know, totally content with that.
And he picked an awesome Twitter hashtag. He, you know, was great posting photos so everyone could see. Those are things that, you know, as a content person myself, I've appreciated about, you know, your career is just your ability to share and connect with everyone. And that's something that, you know, obviously the Bermuda 419 is like the coolest turf Twitter handle in my mind. And well, also
I just kind of stumbled on to that whole Twitter thing. I still had a flip phone about 7 years ago. And I remember a coworker teaching me when I got my first iPhone about Twitter. And I was just such a novice at that time. And I really, you know, I just was using it as a way to keep up on my favorite soccer teams or Bruce Springsteen or something like that. And then the idea of using that to either promote our grounds department here or to use it as a learning tool for others, That just kind of happened. And, but it's just so interesting that you say that. And, if you only knew my lack of savvy when it comes to technology, it's just, it's very ironic that, that you feel that way about my social media.
It definitely made an impression on me, and I know it made an impression on others. So, you know, fake it till you make it, right? You perfected that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so enjoyable to really talk to you about your career. And, you know, I think other people can learn from this and will continue to learn from your career. And so my last question is, you know, if there are a couple words or just like a few sentiments to describe what these past 37 years have been, you know, what would those really be?
Well, enjoyable, but I think rewarding. Rewarding would be the top word if I could summarize my career. It's been a very rewarding career. Just to be able to, you know, I feel blessed to be working here at ASU. It's a gorgeous setting, and just to be able to get up and go to work in this setting every day. And then to make a nice career for myself. It was just very rewarding. Everything that we've talked about just can be summarized in that word, whether it's student athletes, football players coming up to me and saying, "Hey man, thank you so much for all you do," or coaches or fans or, you know, all the relationships. It's just been a very rewarding experience. And, you know, it's been a big part of my life. So I'm going to miss it, but it's time to move on. But what a reward it was.
Of course. And I hope you get the chance to travel and see all the things you want to see. That's something I've also enjoyed. I think there's a photo of you from like last winter, and it was like knee deep snow. I don't know where you were, but I was just like fascinated by it.
Well, you know, we went on a little trip up to Alaska and we loved it. And we saw the Northern Lights and went on a dog mushing ride. And so I do have a long bucket list, and I was on it. And that came about because we had a trip canceled to Europe because of COVID the previous year. And we thought, well, we'll just do that again next year. Well, next year, it wasn't really any better as far as traveling. So we just kind of did that instead. And so I do have I feel like I have a very adventurous spirit, and my wife and I do want to do a lot of traveling. And so I do have I do actually have a bucket list, you know, like a piece of paper with things to do on it. So I just plan on checking a lot of those off. And that was a very, that was kind of a spur of the moment one, but it was a very wonderful trip. And so I'm going to keep those coming, hopefully.
That's so cool. And definitely admirable. So what's the number one, where's the trip you guys are planning next?
Well, actually before, I'm not actually retiring until May. And in April, we have a trip over to Paris for 5 days and then Switzerland for 5 days. So I've always wanted to, I've never been a big France guy, but my wife is. And so we're going to go to a soccer game, hopefully. Hopefully fans are going to be allowed at that time. We have a connection at PSG. So my poor wife, every time we travel, I make her go to a soccer game. She's not really a fan, but she goes along. And so that's kind of been a love of my life lately, you know, with soccer. But then I've always wanted to go up in the Swiss Alps and just walk through these little villages with cows with bells on and that off. So then to work for a couple of weeks and then figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.